What a wonderful truth and doctrine in the scripture. In fact, I've heard it, a great theologian was asked, out of all the Bible doctrines, and there's a whole bunch of them in the scriptures, out of all the Bible doctrine, which is the dearest doctrine to him? Which one really resonated the most with him? And he said, without a second thought, Jesus loves me. What a thought to know that God loves us. All the other Bible doctrines really wouldn't really matter if God didn't love us. If God didn't love us, there'd be nothing to worship, there'd be nothing to praise, but just God's wrath and judgment for us to look forward to, which we won't. And so it's because God loved us that he gave Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Always remember, friends, God loves you. Jesus loves you. And when you're feeling down, think of the boys, and they're singing it to you. Yes, Jesus loves you. He does. He loves you. What a blessing to be in the house of the Lord, my friends. Thank you for doing that. That really blessed me. To God be the glory. And so I'd like to encourage us this afternoon, or this morning, friends, from the Word of God, as always. And the title of this morning's message, Help! There are tares in the kingdom. Help! There are tares in the kingdom. Of course, it's one of the seven parables that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 13 of the kingdom of heaven. So let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 and 25. This is our main text. Going to look at the second one in this seven parables and of the wheat and the tares. The parable, the wheat and the tares. And I really hope this would really encourage us, bless us today, remind us that we are living in kingdom times. It perhaps might not be the way that we had thought it. It certainly wasn't in the days of Jesus when he came and everyone was thinking, wait, where's the kingdom? And Jesus said to like, well, it's like this. And so he explains it. But let's go to Matthew 13, verse 24 and 25. And the Word of God says, this, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, if you have, I don't, but if your Bible's one of those red letter Bibles, you see a lot of red, because this is where Jesus is literally speaking and teaching. And he says in verse 24 and 25, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in thy house this morning. Thank you, Father, again for just the fresh and powerful and innocent reminder that, yes, Jesus loves us. But beyond that, Jesus loves me, Lord. What an awesome truth. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, God in human form, the Son of God, the Son of Man, that he came to save me from my sins to be with you. What a phenomenal thought, Lord. And so, Father, thank you for this, for your word. Father, as we are reminded, even as Jesus, walked the earth, that he would preach about the kingdom of heaven, so that we, even all the way down through history, can be ready today, Lord, to look forward to the promise of the glory that awaits us with you, but that we can also be equipped to deal with our present trials, Lord, that it won't take us by surprise, that we won't be shell-shocked, but, Father, that you've told us ahead of time what's going to happen so that we can just trust in you more when it does happen. And so, Father, we just ask that you be glorified today. If there's any wayward soul who has yet to trust Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, we pray, Father, even today would be the day of salvation. Bless this time and give me the words to speak. Lord, you know I need you. Hide me behind the cross that the Holy Spirit of God has free reign. We ask in Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Right off the bat, just kind of a reminder to us that we are living in kingdom times. When Jesus is speaking here, he meant it right then and there, not some kind of future prophecy. And so it was happening in real time then as it is still now. And so this truth is so amazing when we understand what Jesus in Matthew 13, he gives the seven amazing parables of the kingdom of heaven. Now, some are also recorded in the other gospel, accounts, but this specifically, the wheat and the tares here, is found only in the book of Matthew in just this chapter 13. But this is such an amazing truth, and we understand what Jesus is saying. It really thrusts us right up into Bible times, because we find ourselves living in this parable the way Jesus said it even back then. It makes what Jesus says all those years ago relevant to us today, where I might wonder, why is this happening to us? Why is that guy doing this to me? Okay, and I'm like, here's why. Okay, and so it equips us to deal with our present trials. You know, it is a parable that describes the kingdom of heaven, which in the context back then and possibly even today was not at all like what people expected when the Messiah would show up. And so I want to just get us to consider what the Bible is saying, what Jesus is saying in the biblical context that it said. And you know, and first off, you know, what is the kingdom of heaven? You know, we certainly don't see it. You know, I don't see it. And so how can we be in it? Well, number one, understand that the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, first and foremost, it is a spiritual kingdom. And right now, the kingdom of heaven is right here, as it was then in Jesus' day, but in spirit form, if you will, okay? And it kind of gets me thinking because, wait, there's a physical form and a spirit form to the kingdom, two forms. And I kind of ask myself, well, how can this be? Well, first of all, think of ourselves. We have a physical form. We are right here physically in the flesh, okay? But for us to be saved, we have to be born what? Again. We have to be born again. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born. Ye must be born again. And so we need to be born again by believing in Jesus Christ. Not baptism, not communion, confirmation, none of that. It's only by believing in Jesus Christ are we born again by the Spirit. And so there is that spirit form. Now, what's amazing is, but how do I know, like, in this example here, when Jesus says in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven, when he mentions this, how do I know he's not talking about the physical kingdom? How do I know that he has to be, how do we know that he has to be talking about the spiritual kingdom? Well, number one, kind of obvious, but number one, we don't see it, okay? We don't physically see it, okay? And in fact, in Jesus' day, again, everyone was kind of really not thinking the kingdom of heaven would be like this. I don't know if they were thinking that it would show up just kind of burling down like a meteor. It was just, you know, just coming down and just, you know, just this massive city. And then it would kind of just land right there. I don't know if that's what they were thinking. But the idea is it was not the way that people had anticipated. They thought it would come in with trumpets blowing, you know, and just a huge army. Okay. Yet when it came in humility. It came in meekness. It came as a babe in a manger. And everyone thought, wait, what kind of kingdom is this? It's not what I... Now, again, the physical form of the kingdom will come. That's not too revelation, okay? And that's going to be amazing. It's going to be glorious. But for right now, the spirit form of the kingdom is here. In fact, we know that Jesus is not talking about the physical form of the kingdom, because later on in this parable, when Jesus explains the harvest of the wheat, which is God's people, and the tares, which are Satan's followers, okay, the unsaved, and the tares are wheat looking like weeds, okay, you know, weeds that look like wheat, okay, but they're not wheat, they're weeds, okay, these tares, the harvest of the tares, later on when Jesus describes it, he calls it at the end of the world. He says the harvest is the end of the world. And so this is that great white throne judgment at the end of the world, which is right after the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, which is in Revelation chapter 20. After that, God will make all things new, and then the physical kingdom descends from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. That's Revelation 21 and 22. You know, the pearly gates, you know, the street of gold, the mansions in our Father's house, all this is the physical kingdom that will come yet in the future. Okay, and so Jesus, in fact, he's himself, when he speaks about his physical aspect of his kingdom, he says, my kingdom is not of this world, okay? And so therefore, this parable that Jesus is speaking about here must describe the aspect of the kingdom before the physical form. In other words, his spiritual form And in fact, when Jesus came, in fact, even before Jesus, when John the Baptist came to usher in Jesus Christ as Savior, remember what John the Baptist was saying? He said, well, let's go here to Matthew chapter 3. Let's turn with me back to Matthew chapter 3. Because understand, the kingdom in the present form is here. The physical form isn't here. But the spiritual form is present here. In fact, it was exactly what John the Baptist was all excited about. Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to verse 1 and 2. And notice what it says here. This is huge, because it really brings it all the way up to present day, where we are as well part of this spiritual kingdom. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, this is his message, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. It's right here. Now, it wasn't with him, it was with Jesus. But what he means is right there. Okay, the one coming behind me, he's the one that's going to usher in the kingdom. And John, of course, is the forerunner of Christ. He is the herald that would announce the king is showing up. So everyone get ready. Again, the picture of a king would send forth his crew ahead of him, okay, his forerunner, to get everyone to straighten up. Hey, fill up this pothole, fresh paint on that store, you know, to kind of prep up the appearance of the town before the king shows up. Just like that, John would do the same thing, but about the hearts of men, okay? Not physical appearance, but the hearts. Hey, repent from your sin. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he's coming. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In fact, when John gets arrested and then thrown into prison, Jesus continues the same message. If you go to chapter 4 of Matthew, verse 17, now Jesus, the king himself, shows up, but he says the same thing. Verse 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wasn't meaning some future time. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's like, it's here. Now, not the physical form of the kingdom, because that's not till Revelation 21, 22. We know that. But the spirit form of the kingdom, it was there. It's a spiritual kingdom in Jesus Christ. He is the king of this kingdom. And so he came to call and prepare a spiritual, basically, citizens for his kingdom. And so he came. Now, John announced him, and then here comes Jesus. And so you're going to receive him as your Lord. Jesus, the king himself, came to call a people of citizens to himself. That is amazing. Okay, in fact, he says the same thing to his disciples to tell. If you go to Matthew 10, Matthew chapter 10, and then verse 7. Look at this, Matthew 10, and let's go to verse 7. He sends his disciples out, and he tells them the same thing. It says, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the kingdom of heaven in the spiritual form came finally after waiting all those Old Testament years, and then you have the 400 years of silence, and then finally when Jesus was born, and then John, you know, 6 months older, and then when Jesus was 30, John 30 plus 6 months, you know, John was announcing that Jesus would come, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's finally here, the kingdom that you've been waiting for. Now, it came and is still here in its spiritual form. So we are in this kingdom today, okay? And the only way we get into this kingdom, well, it's if you go with me to John chapter 3, John chapter 3, this is when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a master of the law, supposedly someone who knew all the Jewish laws and, you know, and the prophecies, yet he missed this, okay? And so John chapter 3, and then if you go to verse 3. Let's start there. John 3, chapter 3. You know, we know this. He's talking to Nicodemus about being saved, being born again. But then he makes a reference to the kingdom. And so he says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. We've all had the physical birth. We all have this. That's a no-brainer. You don't have to worry about that. That's if you're alive, you've been born the first time. But not everyone has been born again by being saved by trusting in Jesus. So except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if you fast forward, the reason why, not let alone get into it, you can't even see it. If you fast forward to Revelation 21. That's when the kingdom of God in the physical form comes on the scene. And that happens after the great white throne judgment, where those who are not saved are cast into the lake of fire. So they're all gone. They're done. Those that reject Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter from what age, what dispensation, what time they live, what time, doesn't matter. All those that reject Jesus Christ, the Son, God, are going to be cast aside. And then the kingdom, chapter 21, 22, comes down, the glorious kingdom. So they won't even be around, they won't see it. And so Jesus says to Nicodemus, because Nicodemus is like, hey, I've heard all these wonderful things about Jesus. He's evidently some man of God because he's doing his miracles. But he can't really be the Messiah, is he? Because there's no kingdom. You know, he kind of came on the scene, some guy from Nazareth, a carpenter's son. There was no grand reveal of this kingdom, like came thundering in like an asteroid from Spain. I mean, there's no kingdom. So is he really the Messiah? You know, so he asked Jesus, so you're not quite, you can't be the Messiah, but you've got to be some man of God because you're doing these miracles. That's obvious. And then so Jesus explained to him the spiritual aspect. And so you have to be born again. Without that, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Goes over his head. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Fair question. Again, because Jesus wanted to show him that there is a difference between the spiritual and the flesh, right? And so, of course, he's just thinking flesh and flesh. And so the second birth is nothing like the first birth. And so verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee. So he expounds from what he said in verse 3, except a man be born of water, that is the original birth, when every mom would tell you before baby is born, the water breaks, so everyone has this first birth. But the second birth is, and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You have a flesh nature. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's a spirit nature. And so when you think of the kingdom, God's kingdom is here in spirit form. Now, the physical form is going to come later. It's going to be glorious. Okay, but that is an amazing, it's at hand. Repent. It's been here since John announced it and when Jesus showed up in person, ushering it in. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was at hand then. It's still at hand today. That the gates are open and people are invited to come be a citizen of this spiritual kingdom. The only way that you can be is by being born again, by believing in Jesus. In fact, if you go to Revelation with me, Revelation chapter 1, it was the kingdom of heaven was at hand when Jesus came. And this is some 60 years later after Jesus died and ascended. John writes this in about the year 90. About the year 90, he writes this, and it was still at hand. If you go to verse 1 of chapter 1, Revelation 1:1, notice this. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom, and the kingdom of heaven is a very present kingdom. It's right here. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. It seems, might seem forever to us, but it's short to God in truth, because a day with God could be 1,000 years with us. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. In other words, take heed to it. Don't forget it. Do what it says in the scriptures. For the time is what? At hand. It's right here. It's right now. It's been now, and it's been now ever since. Even though technically by calendar years, it's been close to 2,000 years later. It was at hand when Jesus came. The kingdom of heaven is still at hand. And so that's huge. And so this parable is happening right now. And it's so important for us to realize this. Why? Because God wants us to be prepared in how we deal with the tares in his kingdom. He wants us to understand how to deal with the tares in your life, in my life. Understanding this parable of the wheat, and not just that, but all the parables of the kingdom of heaven gives us a full understanding of the Old Testament promises and how they are fulfilled in New Testament times, and as it plays out in real life. In fact, let's go back to Matthew 13. And in fact, if you take a peek at this one verse, verse 52 with me, it's towards the end of that chapter. But Matthew 13, after Jesus expounds all the seven parables of the kingdom of heaven, for us to get it, to understand where we are in the timeline, Old Testament prophecies playing out in New Testament times and realities. Let's go to verse 52. When it all clicks, this is how we are as one who has studied the Word of God. It says, "Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old." It's like having the complete collection. You're not missing any pieces. You got a whole set. The Old Testament treasures, the New Testament treasures, you have them both, all. You know, where God is, where Jesus is telling us this so that we would know how things are going to happen. That the kingdom of heaven indeed came and was at hand with Jesus Christ in spirit form. And the physical form is coming as promised. And so that is huge, because the application is the kingdom of heaven, remember, today, not like what people expected then. And unless Christians study and rightly divide God's word, it will not be what we would expect either. Because Jesus is telling his disciples, Jesus is telling his wheat, that his kingdom, which is right here, right now, in its spiritual form, is also, hate to burst your bubble, full of tares. It's not a good thing per se, because Satan was the one that did that, but it's what God allowed to happen. Now, it's part of his larger plan, but God's kingdom is full of tares. If you go with me back to verse 24 in Matthew 13, we'll kind of read what happened. And so first the parable, and then Jesus explains what it means. But Matthew 13, and then go to verse 24, and 25, we kind of start there. But while men slept, in verse 25, his enemy, God's enemy, of course, that's Satan, came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And then verse 26, and when the blade was sprung up, remember this happened back then and it's still active today. So we are living in this time. We are living in this spiritual kingdom of heaven right now. And so this is, if you're saved, you're a wheat. But look around you, there's tares, okay? And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, "Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" He said unto them, "An enemy hath done this." The servants said unto him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" But he said, "Nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn." And so this is a very powerful agriculture parable. And the parable of the wheat and the tares is almost like a part two to the parable right before it, that of the sower and the soils. Remember, the sower went forth to sow the seed. Some fell by the wayside, stony ground, among the thorns, and then on the good soil. And so the wheat and the tares is kind of like a part two to that sower and the soil parable. It's like the seed that fell on the good soil that produced 30, 60, 100 fold. Now that has tares added to it. Okay, so you can kind of think of it that way. And this seed on the good soil, the wheat, okay, they are not offended by the word. These are true believers. They are rooted in Christ. They're not on the stony ground. They are not deceived by riches and choked by the deceitfulness of riches. But these seed on the good soil that becomes the wheat, they are plagued by tares. And these tares are sowed by Satan, and they are actually intentionally left by God, telling his angels, "No, leave them there." They're intentionally left among the wheat. And so the primary teaching, each of these parables has a main focus, main lesson, okay? So the primary teaching of this parable is that there will always be enemies of God against God's kingdom. right now in the spirit form of the kingdom. In the physical, no, they'll be burned. Okay, but right now, you and I will have enemies, especially even more so as we continue to go closer and closer to the end times. Brace for impact. Okay, you will have enemies. The wicked people will live with the saved until separated personally by God at the judgment. We need to understand this. We must understand this. Otherwise, it's easy for us to just pray that God will remove the tares. Like, God, this guy is really, really, really sticking it to me, or whatever the case is. And people are getting attacked. And maybe not so much here in America, where we're still blessed with our religious liberties. But I can reassure you, if you ask a fellow Christian brother or sister in a closed country, where it's illegal to be a Christian, where you'll be killed and thrown into prison for being a Christian, they'll tell you, oh yeah, there's tares everywhere. Everyone's a tare. You don't even know, my neighbor or my own family can turn me in. Okay, I mean, so I'm just saying, and it kind of got me thinking, because, you know, when you say the whole field is full of tares, some wheat may have more tares around them than others. You know, it's like when my lawn has all the dandelions, you know, I look out and it starts off all green. It doesn't take long before it's all yellow with dandelions. Not every blade of grass has a dandelion like right up to it. You know, I mean, some have a lot of dandelions, but some have little less. And so what I'm saying is, yes, as God's people, as his wheat, some wheat just have more tares by them. But they're everywhere. Okay. And so, but this is huge, because God's people need to understand this. Because when they are saved, it's easy to think, oh, I trusted in Jesus. My life is going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden, you're surrounded by tares. Like, what's going on? And so, but Jesus is telling us this, because that's the plan. The spirit kingdom is here. The kingdom of heaven in spirit form is here. And that's how you get saved, get born again. But don't worry, the physical form is coming. Okay, but it is here. It's at hand. It's been at hand ever since. And so understand this. And so who are the tares? In fact, if you go down to verse 37, later on, Jesus circles back and himself, he describes this. So verse 37, and so Jesus, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's himself, Jesus and his followers. The field is the world, not the church. This is the whole world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, the believers. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Wow, that's horrible. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world, when this world is all done. Right before the new world comes in, new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, the tares are going to be burned. That's the great white throne judgment. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now the huge, kind of an aha here, the huge takeaway is in this parable of the wheat and the tares, Jesus only gives two outcomes for a person, either a child of God's kingdom or a child of the wicked one, either one. Now, the context is huge. Again, each parable has a main truth. You know, don't overread the details, okay? Because when we read the whole counsel of God, we know that God is still and shall always be the only sovereign creator. There's only one God. There's only one creator God. God makes all people. He makes all people. There's no two creators. God in his corner and Satan in his corner. There's only one creator, our sovereign God. God makes all people. He makes all the wheat. He makes all the tares, because they're people. However, this parable does teach that anyone and everyone who rejects Jesus belongs to the devil. If you reject Jesus, you're done. And Satan's got you. Again, but don't overread and say, oh, you know, Satan's the, you know, he's not a creator. God's the creator. So God made it all. And God loves everyone. But if someone rejects, again, just putting God's word all together, if someone rejects Jesus, then they belong to Satan. They're his. Is what Jesus tells the Pharisees. Ye are of your father, what? The devil. Even though Jesus came unto his own received him not. The tares are Christ's rejectors. They are owned by the devil, planted by Satan in our life to attack us. Could be physical, could be spiritual, could be emotional. The tares are planted right by the wheat to sabotage the crop, to take your sunlight, to steal your nutrients from your soil, and even invade your personal space, okay? They can be right up there, no shame, okay? Again, they were intentionally planted by Satan to ruin God's harvest. Again, some of us may have more tares than others. Again, this is kind of scattered across the board. That's on God, okay? But amidst all our tares, God still wants us as his wheat to do something. Let's go to verse 30. In fact, the first few, you know, words in verse 30 tells us, God says, let both grow together. And so amidst all of our tares, God still wants you, fellow wheat, to grow. He wants you to grow. In fact, the tares don't even look like tares at first. Not until they start growing as well. Then they look like tares. And it's easy sometimes for us to think someone is not a tare, but they are. And by the fruits, Jesus says, you will know them. And what's so heartbreaking is, in fact, that's when, if you go to verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So when the wheat is minding its own business and growing for the Lord and producing fruit, then the tares show up like, hey, I'm here to steal your sunlight and take your nutrients in your soil and kind of cut you down. Don't let them attack. I mean, they're going to attack you, but keep growing. Keep growing in spite of our tares, okay? Don't be envious of our tares. The tares are going to grow. And they very well can prosper because they're going to grow as well. God says here, let them both grow. And don't fall into that trap of envy where we see the tares prospering and like, oh, I'm this little wheat here. How come my tares prosper? No, don't. We know the truth. That's why Jesus is telling us this. The tares have it coming. And that's horrible. You will not envy any tare. Again, those that reject Jesus Christ, they seal their own fate. And then Satan owns them. But grow through our tares. God wants us to grow, bear fruit. In fact, they want to, of course, tear us down. Okay. But again, God sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So the tares get the blessing. They get to grow. But God wants you to grow too. Personal growth all the way. In fact, it says, verse 30, let both grow together until what? The harvest, until the harvest. Satan does not want God's wheat to bear fruit. That's you and I. Why? Because this is how God is glorified, that we bear much fruit. That's why he sows the tares among them, among us. But friends, grow. Just trust the Lord. Grow personally. God gives strength. He gives grace. Remember the angels here who picture the servants, they still take care of the field. They nurture the field. They keep giving food, nutrients, fertilizer, water, you know, and then they take care of the harvest. They take care of you and I as God's wheat. Now the tares are also flourishing, but they take care of you and I as God's wheat. So grow. God provides everything that we need. And God is the one who's going to separate us. Let both grow together until the harvest. In Romans, Paul says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Till it's time for it's time for the Lord's return. It's time for the physical kingdom to come. Okay, and so the blessing of God's barn that awaits His wheat, but also the doom of the tares, If you go to verse 30 with me, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares that might have been tormenting you your whole Christian life. Bind them in bundles to what? Burn them. And this sequence is intentional because God will burn the tares first. He'll bind them, very similar to what Jesus gives in, you know, the parable of the wedding here, when Jesus, the man who was not in the wedding garment, he said, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then burn. If you go to Revelation 20 with me, Revelation chapter 20, this is the great white throne judgment, where those who are not born again will not see the kingdom of heaven, which appears in chapter 21, because they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20. And so this is getting close to where the physical form of the kingdom makes its appearance in chapter 21. But this is going to happen first after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. All those tares are in trouble now. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and other books were opened, and the book, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the destiny of the tares. And then for God's people, the wheat are gathered into God's barn. If you go to chapter 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And now we get to see the physical form of the kingdom of heaven, which is already here in spirit form, okay? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Wow. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. By the way, who's talking? This is Jesus Christ. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. God's spiritual kingdom of heaven is currently here. It's been ushered in since Jesus Christ came. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. You've got to be born again, become a citizen of this spiritual kingdom. Jesus, referring to the physical aspect of his kingdom, told Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world, but it's going to come, okay? It is not of this world. This world is cursed, it's marred, it's fallen, it's ruled by Satan. But God's spiritual kingdom of heaven currently, if you want to think of it, it currently is here. It overlays the world's kingdom. They're both right here, right now. Think of it as like two highways. Sometimes you're on the same road, one physical road, but it's both Highway 12 and Highway 151 or whatever. You know, it's they kind of go together for a little bit, and then later on they kind of split. And so right now you have the spiritual kingdom of God, which is right here, right now. You can talk about the parable of the sower and the soils. Those are the responses that mankind will give. The four types of responses to the invitation of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And then you have the parable of the wheat and the tares. You have the hid treasure. You have the pearl of great price. All these things picture the spiritual kingdom that's presently right here. That is also in the time of man's kingdom. So they're together. And then, but at some point, man's kingdom is going to go all the way down into the pits of hell. And the spiritual kingdom is going to ascend up. And then the physical form is going to come down. I mean, that's a glorious thing that awaits a child of God. But until then, Friends, the tares are here. The tares are here. But God has given us all that we can need and whatever need to grow and continue to produce fruit, because bearing fruit glorifies him during this time. We look forward to that end of days, but the end of the harvest. God uses over and over again just a parable of laboring in the harvest. We pray for laborers for God's harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. A blessing to be a wheat, one of God's own. His blessed barn awaits us. My friends, if you're here without Jesus Christ, if you reject Jesus Christ, Satan's got you. Your only hope of salvation is to trust in Jesus Christ. Repent and trust in the Lord for your salvation. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a humble, awesome thought, Lord, to consider that we are living in kingdom times. We just can't see it physically. But your kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that's here and has been here for thousands of years, Lord, since Jesus came. And Lord, we are so thankful that we can be part of this spiritual kingdom. Father, we look forward, Lord, with our glorified bodies that, you know, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But Lord, you will give us a spiritual body for the physical manifestation of your spiritual kingdom, Lord. And we look forward to that, the city of gold. Father, help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help me, Lord, to grow, even though there's tares all around me. And Lord, we love you. We ask, Lord, that you give us mercy and grace for the hour. And bless this invitation time, Father. May hearts be stirred. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed.